There's been times where my family has been come against that I'd thought about it long enough. I knew exactly what I was going to say. Go all the way through the fight and then see myself at the end in victory saying, yeah, what about now? What about now? What you going to say now? You get caught in your imagination, you'll lose yourself. We're getting drawn away by any kind of thing nowadays. Seems like today, if there's anything that's any better than going to church, we're there. But brother, they're having a tailgate party Sunday. They're going to have cheese dip. It's going to be awesome. Surely the Lord understands. If I just didn't tell my wife I was going to come home, just did what I wanted to all the time, eventually there would be a division in our relationship. This is preaching to marriage, workplace, wherever you want it. I'm just using it as an example. But we get divided as a body when we leave our first love. And the poor few that try their hardest to get in the presence of God, that the weight is so heavy for just a few that they get burnt out and they walk away from their love for God. Why? Because they're frustrated that everybody else is frustrated. So we're getting back to where we were back when the children of Israel were sitting around complaining, even when they had food falling on top of their head, saying, that's not good enough for me. I want a better variety of food. I've had this manna for too long, but there's something about a constant that makes it powerful. There's something about knowing that you're going to get manna when you need it that made that powerful. It wasn't about that, the fact that it was just the same food, but it was the fact that the food came when they were in need and did not cease when they were in need. That's the love of God. Brother, give me something better to drive. Well, if it's in His will to let you have it, you'll have it. But if not, don't worry about it. It's more important to have the pursuit of God's love, for in that our desires can change. I used to desire drugs and loved it. But as He changed me, my love for it changed. And people don't want this kind of preaching. Nobody wants to get near holiness, or preach righteousness. Because everybody's like, it's my life, I'll do what I want. The Lord knows. But you've got to understand, if you really have the love of God, you're going to live right. It is a byproduct, an attribute of His love. It will cause you to do things that you wouldn't have done before you were saved. It'll cause you to have a better attitude. It'll cause you to support each other. And that's what's lacking in the church mostly, is the fact that we can't come together. There's been more places where I have seen God begin to move, but yet we could not get into it because we were not willing to support each other. We were waiting on such and such to obey God. We were waiting on that song before I'd get up and move. But I found that even before the first songs were even formed, do you know that it used to be Gregorian chant songs? So it would start out, oh, Almighty God, really slow song. And you're thinking, well, brother, I can't clap my hands to that. Brother, I can't get into that. But I want to tell you, it's not in the beat. It's not in the music. But it's in the intimacy of what it represents. If you try to praise Him with no intimacy, then it is like a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. It is no profit to you if we're just coming in and doing it because we want other people to see how exciting the church is and how that we want them to come to church the last 2 weeks and be right back out the door, because when problems come, they won't be ready. You can't tend to the flock trying to pursue things like the world. You can't. So let's go on. I don't want to wear you out. The third time He says, feed my sheep. He combines the first two to make clear the job of the shepherd. And hear this tonight. It is to tend, care for, and provide spiritual food for God's people. From the youngest lambs to the full grown. Everybody, in continual action to nourish and care for them, hear this, bringing them in to the fullness of maturity. He referred to the people as lambs because lambs can be a bit immature in their behavior. And they need that staff to get them back where they need to be. They follow the staff when they are looking for where they need to go. There is something about leading people into maturity. That means when they come in and say, oh, brother, I didn't think I was ever going to make it. I don't think I'm going to make it. That you love them enough to help them through this thing. And when they get through that thing, that they learn something. That is the duty of the church. Help people to understand why they had to go through it and help them to grow up from it, that they not need the stick again. We have to learn to be led by God. And if leadership is not being led by God, we'll lead people like blind leading the blind. And I'm all for preaching salvation. I want everybody to be saved. But you've got to understand, if you're preaching salvation and you have a body of people that's divided, and you have a body of people that's scattered, everybody's mind's on something else. They think somebody else should be preaching. They think somebody else should be singing. You've got this one wanting to be deacon and this one wanting to be choir leader. But if you ask them to sing a song, they don't got one. You've got all kinds of division. And if you just focus on salvation all the time, then you're not tending to the flock like they need to be. Salvation will have its place. But God's not going to send any lost people in the midst of your church until you learn to lead people by the kind of love that will cause them to grow up and to be made perfect in God. To be made perfect is to grow up and be mature. I don't do the things I used to do when I was 16 because I realized that driving really fast will cause you to get in an accident. So I don't drive like that anymore. I've grown up. I've matured. I've moved on. I used to party and do drugs, but God delivered me. I have matured and I don't do that anymore. I used to live in depression. Doctor said I would have to live on Prozac forever, but God delivered me and I am not as though I was, because God has done a new thing in me. I've grown up. I've matured. I've realized that depression doesn't have a hold on me. Fear doesn't have a hold on me. The devil doesn't have a hold on me. And when you let him hang on, he'll ride with you all the way through to the end. But honey, get in the fact that you know that you're loved and God will lead you to a better way. So what do we feed people? What do we give them? I'm going to read it to you. Turn with me in Hebrews chapter 5. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the same old church. Some places we'll go to sing, you'll see the same old faces, and literally you'll feel like you went through the same old service. And it's like, it is 2014, right? It is July, right, Doris? It felt like we just did this. Having traditional deja vu. And you might not like my style. You might think I take too long. But one thing I can promise you is you're not going to see me back doing the same traditions I used to do, because I'm determined. I'm following after him. I'm following after him. And if there'll be anybody willing, come with me. Let's do this together. Let's take a stand together. When we see people go to the altar, let's go with them. Let's lead them into maturity. Retention only happens. That means when somebody gets saved and they come to church a week or two, without somebody going to them and establishing a bond, they don't feel like they're loved. So it's the duty of the body of Christ to extend its limbs, to reach out for the one and say, we love you. We want you to be here. We care about you. We care about your troubles. We care about your pain. But everybody just wants the pat on the back. Nobody wants to do the patting. Everybody wants a pat on the back. Everybody wants some love, but nobody wants to give any love. Nobody wants to give of their self. We preached this the other night. Greater love hath no man than this, that you'll lay down your life. God said that he called us friends. So if you're laying down your life for your friends, then this means that they are your brothers and sisters, whether lost or saved. That's powerful. That's powerful. If I didn't love this place, I wouldn't be here. If I didn't care about you, I wouldn't be standing here now. You know the devil tells me every single time I get up here, brother, don't waste your time. He tries to get me so tired in my body to say to myself, well, I'll just rest at home tonight. He gets me so discouraged at times where I just think, what's the use in doing it again? Lord, I feel like I'm just throwing it up and it's coming right back. And in me, if it was only me, I would have already given up. But then when I think about the Lord and what he has done and how he has blessed me, then it causes me to realize I'm not even here because of my own strength. I'm not even here just because I'm anointed. I feel like singing in here tonight. Come on, sing it like you mean it. Because he loved me, my Savior died. On the cross was crucified. No greater love my mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name. He loves me so. Now I am his, and he's mine, and I know.
He suffered it all.
Because he loved you. Give him praise in this place. Glory to God. I read these last verses to you. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that you teach, that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. This is Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. And are become such that have need of milk and of not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk, hear that, is unskillful in the word of right. That means there's people that need to know better. There's people that need to hear from the veterans of God. By veteran, I mean somebody that's been in it long enough to been through some stuff. They need to hear from you. They need to hear you testify. For he is what? A babe. Verse 14 says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, hear that, by what you've been through, their senses exercised to discern both what? Good and evil. So if you walk in the fullness of his love and let him mature you, you can say you are perfect in him. There is a perfection to walk in. There's a maturity to reach. And if we don't reach maturity, then the people that we want to grow up will not. If we want our church to be on fire, yet we not lead by what will cause them to be mature, it will not grow. We have a lot of people, if you only drank milk, if you only lived by liquids alone, you would have no tone, no muscle, no strength. But out of the maturity of those who have trusted God, we are still living by the words of letters of men that we never knew. How much more is the encouragement of each other's company? How much more powerful is it to hear the testimony of somebody you know? That means it's important that you say something for God. It's important that you obey him. So in closing, you remember, you will be tested in your love. But if you'll keep your love for God first, he said he'd take everything else that seems detrimental and work it for your good. Glory to God. I love you and appreciate you. And I hope that this is something that's helping you to grow. It is me. I'm here to tell you that this is the first fruits of my life. It's causing me to be more patient. It's causing me to hold my tongue. Yeah, I get to that point where I want to burst. And yeah, I get to that point where I want to cry. And yeah, I get some retribution in me. And I'm thinking, I'm going to do something about this. But then the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, pays me a visit and keeps my mind. It takes care of my fences. I have an uncle. Bless his heart, I love him. He's a cattle farmer. And it seems like that all that he does is run around and repatch his fences. I don't know what knocks him down, but it's just funny to know that there's cattle out here, and when he gets them put back, the fence is down somewhere else. Somebody you don't even know calls him and says, hey, buddy, I think your cows are in my yard. And if we don't watch over, prayer is the tending of your life. Prayer is the tending of your life. And that love you have that comes from that will cast off fear. Fear is the gateway to destruction. Fear. You know, everybody always said marijuana was the gateway to bigger drugs. I found it wasn't the substance that made it the gateway, but it was the fear of not pleasing others. Fear will cause you to do things you never thought you'd do. But the Bible said this about love, that the love of God, or it said the mature love, a disciplining love, one that will lead you to a better truth, makes all fear flee from you. Said a perfect love casteth off. That means I need something to throw. It means it takes what you would have held on to and says it's no longer for me. And if we truly walked like that, we would not walk in fear. For God even went as far as to say, there's not very many places you read of God being justified. But he asserted that he is not the author of confusion. Why would he go to that trouble? Because he wanted to make sure that we understood the origin of fear. When we begin to be afraid, doubt sets in. And when doubt sets in, it kills your faith. I'm stronger today, not just because I'm grown in faith, but I'm learning by his love to throw off doubt. The greater love of God in you will cause you to be an overcomer. by the blood of the Lamb shows his covering of love, his everlasting covenant of love. The promise to the world that it would never be flooded and destroyed again was the rainbow. But the promise of eternal life came by the blood of Christ. That is what makes it powerful. It is a representation of love through suffering. How much more could we be if we walked in love through suffering? I'm learning to fight through my battles. Now I'm going to look beat up and bloody by the time I get to the end. But I know who's going to give me majority decision. Sometimes boxing can be in the first round. Like 10, 20 seconds, somebody gets knocked out because they're not looking for what's about to hit them. But sometimes you can endure all the way to the last round. But at the end of the day, he who is the righteous judge has the final say. And those that will fight the good fight, those that will keep the faith, have the majority decision. I used to grow up watching boxing with my dad. That was one of our pastimes. And sometimes it'd get so boring. It just seemed like they weren't doing anything. They're just standing around, just looking for the next punch. But the very moment you drop your guard, church, you hear me right now. You can forget everything else I say, but you hear this. The moment you drop your guard, he's coming after your love. The devil will destroy you unless you are covered by the love of God. Without the blood of Christ, this world will perish into destruction and be cast into a lake of fire. And that's not the kind of casting I want to do. Brother J.R., I love to fish. He has let me go fishing with him. And true story, I threw out the line and I threw it so hard and didn't have my lure tied on. The lure broke off the line and soared like 50 feet in the air. And it went as far as the bank and I had to go back and get it. I want my fear to be thrown off like that. I want to cast off the things that cause me to be hindered. These are the tests you're enduring today. It might have a different face. It might come through a phone call. But if you'll learn to endure and keep your virtues that God has given you, you will be mature. And when your children grow up and they need a leader, you'll be able to tell them, now you listen to me. I've been through it. And you're going to get through it. And we as a church, when we see them stumble, we pick them up again and say, I know that you failed in the past, but today is a new day. That's why I still preach. This isn't me. It's his love for you. This isn't me or my life. It's my life with him through me. I love you. And I know the Lord will bless you for holding your attention. But even greater, if you'll use what you've heard, you'll grow up.